You are tuned in to Hustle Cannabis with your host,
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Hustle Cannabis, where we talk all things marijuana related, including my own entrance into the industry. This is the first podcast episode that I'm filming at the same time as I am recording. So if you are listening on iTunes or Google Play or Anchor, feel free to go to my YouTube channel, Hustle Cannabis. And for all of my video people out there on YouTube, if you want to have an audio version of this, feel free to go to my podcast. This is my 10th episode, so I figured why not try something new and film it so I can create two pieces of content. And yeah, so that's where I'm at. So I'm going to get this thing started off by taking a good old rip from my brand new bong. It's a pretty nice piece. It's a basic piece, but it's clear, and that's what I was looking for, so that you can see all the intricacies. I'm going to go ahead and smoke on some of this Obama Kush that I have left over, and it's sitting in my new judge jar that I got from my monthly subscription box. Smells good, and it's purple for all my audio people out there. Put a little nug in there. So in this episode, I'm going to be focusing on a couple call-ins, actually more than a couple, it's a few call-ins that I got about content related to my podcast and questions about the cannabis industry and how everything's been going since I moved out to Oregon. Let's see if I can find a lighter real quick. All right, everyone, we are back in business. Got my lighter here, and I'm going to take a hit. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but I used to do a prank on Anchor where I would call into stations, and it was called Guess That Sound. I would have a crazy southern accent, not sound like myself, and pretty much tell someone to guess that sound. Oh yeah, I'm sure most of you know what that is. Anyway, on to the podcast. So like I said, episode 10, we're going to be going over a few call-ins about a question that I posed the other day. And I said, hey, for this episode, you know, I want it to be based off my listeners, and I want to answer your questions, and I want to get some feedback, because I love when people call into the station. So let me go ahead and play the first call in here for you.
Hustle Cannabis! Putang ina mo, kumusta na? Long time no hearing from you, ha? Huh? Hey bro, it's Pinoy Australiano here. I'm just wondering, in a place that has legalized marijuana, what kind of Mary Jane products can you buy there from, like, you know, food, medicines, and then of course the the actual strains and types of weed and what they can do for you, whatever particular circumstance, be it to go to sleep, to rest, to practice your head spins, to make music, to watch Netflix, to, you know, whatever it is. Be great to hear back from you. Peace.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Pinoy Australiano. Really appreciate the call in. He is a Filipino-Australian for all of you listening. I don't know if you have heard of his channel or his station, but you should definitely check it out. That's Pinoy Australiano. Pinoystralyano. Way to make it super difficult for people to find you, man. Anyway, what is there to buy in Oregon? What kind of cannabis products are out there in the market? Anything you could possibly imagine. Start off by saying that. Everything from edibles to topicals. Like, I'm talking topicals, even like shampoo and things like that, that have THC infused. Which I think is kind of a waste, personally. But some people enjoy it. Some people say it gives them relief or provides them some sort of benefit. But let's see. Out of the ordinary. The other day I saw somebody with THC breath mint spray. I don't know if you guys remember are familiar with that, like the little pocket sprayer with the Listerine type stuff inside of it. Yeah, they had THC infused spray. I was like, what else could they possibly think of? But so any edible that you could possibly imagine, cookies, all the baked goods, you're gonna have that as well. And then what I've been seeing lately a lot is like recipe books and recipe packets that come with the canna butter already inside. So it'll be like a ready to cook meal, and it has the THC butter or oil already inside or infused. So you don't have to do any of that part. All you do is cook it, and boom, it comes out as a THC infused edible. I know in Colorado, they just legalized cannabis for indoor use at businesses. So private businesses can allow people to smoke inside, which is rare. I mean, that's the first time they're going to be doing that. Denver's definitely paving the way, as always. So I'm excited to see how that works out as far as restaurants go. Because when I was in Amsterdam, I know they had coffee houses, which kind of stood for food and cannabis and coffee. It wasn't just coffee. But yeah, cafes where it's all kinds of food you could possibly imagine and cannabis infused into that as well. So I'm pretty sure as soon as we get the laws passed here, we'll have that. We'll have that in Oregon. But so we covered edibles. So all types of concentrates. I know you're probably familiar with whether it's wax, BHO, live resin, CO2 oil. All types of concentrates are available. And then on top of that, the variety of flower that you can find in a legal state is just unbelievable. I remember when I was passing through Denver, speaking of Denver, we stopped at a quote-unquote weed superstore, and they had over 300 strains. That's right, you heard it correctly, 300. And new strains are coming out every single day. It just doesn't stop. It's madness. They're constantly crossing the best strains with the best strains and making better strains. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. It's going to be just like the wine industry. All right, I hope I answered your question for the most part. Filipino Australian. In the short, pretty much anything that you could possibly imagine. Any place you can infuse THC or any cannabinoids, they are doing that. All right, Nicole Corver.
Hey, I was just wondering what it's like being in a legal state if you get pulled over and you are intoxicated. What are the punishments, or what do you have to go through? Do you get a ticket? Do they have to check you? Like, if you're driving with alcohol, like, walk a straight line, touch your nose, you know, basic stuff. All right, thanks.
Nicole, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate the question. And so you say as far as being in a legal state, getting pulled over, so essentially you're asking about the law and driving while high and how the law treats that and how law enforcement will react to that. Once again, it comes down to probable cause. That's what it is, probable cause. And the level underneath that is reasonable suspicion. But yeah, if the cop, you know, can kind of tell that you're impaired and say you were driving recklessly. I apologize for my dog. It's ridiculous barking at the cats. But yeah, if you're driving recklessly and your car smells like bud, they can definitely test you for THC. But as of right now, I'm not aware of any advanced tests that can actually test you on the spot to tell if you're currently high. The only test they have available is a blood test that they normally do where it just detects the level of THC in your system. So you could be, you know, a heavily medicating patient and be consuming hundreds and hundreds of milligrams of THC per day, but still not be high while you're driving, depending on tolerance, depending on when the last time it was that you smoked, etc. So it really just depends on the situation. But yes, they can bust you for a DUI if you have THC in your system. So it's kind of in that gray area right now that a lot of people, you know, are getting in trouble for these DUIs that involve cannabis. But there's really no way to prove if they were currently high, if they were high while driving. So it's actually kind of scary, to be honest with you, Nicole. I wouldn't say that that's better as far as law enforcement goes, because you're always under the threat of getting a DUI if you get pulled over and you're a cannabis user. But they're working on it. Science is moving forward slowly but surely. Now, I hope that answered your question somewhat, Nicole. If you have any more, feel free to call in. I know you're a steady daily listener, and I really appreciate that. The next one is going to be from the man, KT himself, Kevin Touch. This dude is anchor famous, people, just so you know.
HC, KT, I just wanted to say, if you're having a 10th episode special, oh wow, what are you doing in the industry, and how is being in a legal state like influenced your mind? Like, how does it help your mind to know that you can do certain things that other people can't? So how is that a pro and a con?
Okay, pro and a con of being in a legal state and knowing that I can do certain things that other people can't. First off, big pro is gratitude. Every single day I wake up and I'm just blown away that cannabis is even legal here. Being that I come from New Jersey, I grew up 19 years in New Jersey where cannabis was super illegal, and if you got caught, you could go to jail. It's just like black and white now. It's so different. And then I was also in the military, in the army, for 4 years, where obviously you can't consume cannabis in any shape or form. So every day I wake up, it's a real feeling of gratitude. Now, I'm trying to think of a con. It's really hard to think of a con to living in a legal state. I guess maybe it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. It takes a little bit of the thrill out of it, which was part of smoking back in the day, was the whole journey of going to pick it up from the dealer. Like, whoa, I'm doing something wrong. Hope I don't get caught. Like, I don't know. It just gives you that suspenseful, living on the edge type feeling that you don't really have now. So it kind of removed the glamour from breaking the law out of the situation, which is good. That's what they were trying to do when they legalized it. They were trying to put criminals out of business, essentially. So that's one con, I guess. There really aren't many cons that I could think of. Yeah, just pretty much having so much access to it demystifies it and makes it a little bit less fun, I would say. And that's it, man. But Kevin Touch, as always, pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate that you called in. I'm sure we'll be in touch as well. He's a big listener as well, a YouTube family, just so you know. But if you ever get Anchor, if any of my YouTube fam is on Anchor, look up Kevin Touch. All right, this guy's hands down one of the most generous people I've met on social media, not even just Anchor. He's always looking to help people out, and say if you're new to Anchor and you don't really know how to use it, he'll show you around and really give you some good tips. All right, on to the next part of the episode. We finished our call-ins. We're gonna hit up the news. All right, so this is definitely a news story that I wanted to touch on. Really piqued my interest. It's by the Washington Post. Okay? And the title is Teen Marijuana Use Falls to 20-Year Low, Defying Legalization Opponents' Predictions. Yes. All about this. I've said this from day one. I was actually just talking about it. When you make something legal, you take the fun out of it a little bit. I remember that was the first thing that my mentor said when I started growing, was, man, they really took a lot of the fun out of it when they made it legal. Obviously, for the most part, he's joking, but there is a little bit of truth in there. Okay, so on to the article. In 2016, rates of marijuana use among the nation's 12 to 17-year-olds dropped to their lowest level in more than two decades. Whew. According to federal survey data released this week, last year, 6.5% of adolescents used marijuana on a monthly basis. According to the latest National Survey on Drug Use and Health, that represents a statistically significant drop from 2014, when the nation's first recreational marijuana shops opened in Washington State and Colorado. The last time monthly teen marijuana use was this low was 1994. Huh, a year after I was born. Public health experts tend to worry more about adolescent than adult drug use because adolescent brains are still developing. Teen drug use is linked to a host of health problems later in life, including addiction, criminal behavior, and cognitive deficits. I'm screwed. Now, the marijuana trend defies the warnings of those who oppose its legalization, who have long predicted that loosening restrictions on marijuana would send the wrong message, quote unquote, to teens and increase the teen drug use. Now, I've disagreed with this from the get-go, like I've said, because when you demystify something and decriminalize it, it's not as appealing, especially to young people. Because that is half of it, is the fact that it's legal and you're doing something bad that people don't, that you can't tell, you know, you're trying to keep it under wraps, it's a secret. That all goes away when you make it legal, as this study shows. Alright, let's see what else it says. Oh, this is good. While marijuana use increased among adults, past month alcohol use fell, according to the survey. Yeah. Last year, 55% of adults ages 18 and older drank alcohol at least monthly, compared with 56% in 2015. While small, that drop was statistically significant, lending some credence to the notion that some adults may be submitting marijuana for alcohol. Huge proponent of this. I have alcoholism in my family, and I've seen it destroy lives firsthand, and I just think that cannabis is a healthy alternative to alcohol. It's a healthier way to recreate. Everybody wants to relax and maybe recreate with a substance here and there, and I just think cannabis is a good option for that. Awesome article. Really enjoyed that. But hey, call in. Let me know what you guys think. Is that study flawed? Do you believe it? Does it make sense on your end? What are you getting? I think it makes complete sense, but I would love to be love to have a little debate with anyone. Always up for that. Always down to look at different perspectives. So that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate your attention. If you have not favorited my station, if you're on Anchor, please go ahead and hit that star button so that you can get all the updates when I post new segments. And if you are on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, please subscribe to my podcast. I would really, really appreciate it. I'm going to do my best to keep coming out with the best content that I can. And if you are on YouTube watching me, please either subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on your podcast app, or subscribe to both. That'd be even cooler. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate all of you. It means a lot to me that you want to spend some of your time, some of your precious time, listening to me babble about random bullshit. So keep hustling, stay positive, and I look forward to talking with you all again soon.